Thank you, Roger. Mr. Henderson, and good afternoon to you all. In introducing the offering today, I want to recount something which happened about 30 years ago. I was reading a copy of the Lloyds Bank Review, during work hours that was, as I was required to keep up to date with the current banking and economic trends. I happened to come across an article by the then Chief Economics Advisor to Lloyds Bank, a certain Mr. J. Panych, spelled P-A-N-I-C, but pronounced Panych. Fast forward to 2013, and this man's name struck me as being in total harmony with what we see in the world of economics and finance today. As a recent headline in the Church of God in Wales website, Prophetic News column reports, and I quote, "The global economic death spiral," from beforeitsnews.com for the 28th of August 2013, so it's quite up to date. USA, most Americans have been so focused on trying to make ends meet as the purchasing power of their paychecks rapidly declines that they've only been peripherally aware of what is happening in the world at large. They occasionally hear about the upheavals in Europe and that China is undertaking currency manipulation, but nothing that really alarmed them. They never hear that Japan is in meltdown, nor do they know that the American taxpayer is paying trillions to keep Europe afloat, even though they are in-your-face examples of what to do to get out of the financial death spiral that they are in. The American people are being kept ignorant to keep them from understanding that global events are increasingly threatening everything we take for granted in a potentially devastating way. Japan has taken the spending practices of the West and kicked it up into a whole new level. As of this year, they owe 250% of their gross domestic product in debt. Just like the US, they are trying to print their way out of trouble by firing up the currency printing presses. Over the past year, the value of the yen has fallen by almost 20%. All of this has caused the largest credit bubble in Japan's history. All this uncertainty and instability in Japan is causing a crisis in other countries of that region. Japan's bond market is literally in meltdown, threatening their solvency. While China is using smoke and mirrors to convince the world, it is still wildly prospering. Fed up with what it sees as Washington's debauching of the dollar, China is busily promoting the use of its own yuan as the reserve currency with 9 other nations. GoldSilver.com writes, "Displacing the dollar, Beijing says, will reduce volatility in oil and commodity prices, and belatedly erodes the exorbitant privilege the United States enjoys as the issuer of the reserve currency. At the heart of post-war international financial architecture, it now sees as being hopelessly outmoded." No mention is made of the fact that if China is successful, it will make the US dollar valueless. No mention is made that China has major debt problems of its own. This and other attention-grabbing articles should be a cause for concern to virtually the whole of the English-speaking world. And it is becoming worse every day. How do you warn a people who are so wrapped up in the transfer fees paid for football stars such as Gareth Bale, who has become the world's most expensive footballer ever as he is transferred to Real Madrid for a sum of £85 million. They paid that money to have this young man in their football squad. This 24-year-old young man will earn an eye-watering £300,000 a week, approximately $450,000 per week. That is more than the President of the United States earns in a year, and more than twice the British Prime Minister's annual salary. Has the world got its priorities wrong, or have I misread the signs of the times? I don't think it's really the latter. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, and we'll read from chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Perilous times need not just refer to physical dangers, but also to their economic precursors, such as rampant inflation, when people no longer know what the price of a loaf of bread will be when they actually arrive at the bakery. When food prices rise exponentially, we should begin to expect trouble. When food is available but beyond the means of the average person, riots begin. There are many graphs illustrating this particular phenomenon. Across North Africa and Asia, when prices of food staples reach a certain crisis point, trouble always follows. And as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, we see the following words. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. It is not just that Gareth Bale was transferred to Real Madrid for a staggering £85 million, but from the article quoted above, no mention is made that if China is successful, that is successful in replacing the US dollar as the world's reserve currency, it will make the US dollar absolutely worthless. How does the average person buy a loaf of bread for perhaps, say, $50 or a gallon of fuel for the similar amount when the weekly wage is something like $300? We are living in a time when such a scenario is becoming more than just a scare story. As this has been said for many years now, we are living in the very times of a crisis, the crisis at the end of an age. This day pictures the very beginning of a new age, an age of peace and prosperity. It pictures the return of Jesus Christ to this earth as King of Kings, who will restore all things. The gospel message, as was mentioned by Mr. Henderson this morning, has been proclaimed as a witness to the whole world. But the church does still have a mission. That mission is to keep the words delivered by God's apostle to this end time available to all who have an ear to hear, and to keep abreast with that particular message. That does take money. The church does have a presence in the electronic computerized world of the internet. That presence is not invulnerable to cyber attack. Consequently, Mr. Philip Henderson is sometimes kept quite busy ensuring that such attacks are unsuccessful. There are costs involved in keeping abreast of the security measures that need to be taken and need to be implemented. My technical knowledge is not abreast of what is needed. In fact, it is very, very limited. There are a large number of people who would disagree with what the church is teaching, and they disagree absolutely and totally what the church had to say. Some companies have had their websites absolutely trashed by a group called Anonymous, and they only do that because they disagree with what the company is doing. And so the church has to make sure that its website is not vulnerable to such an attack. Another area that takes a considerable sum of money is the ministry, both here in the United Kingdom and across the world. God's servants are worth their hire. Without them, the church would be in a far poorer state. No shepherd and the sheep are soon ensnared, and often they will go astray. Then there is the cost of travel, because keeping in touch with the brethren is a vital part that falls to the ministry, especially at this juncture in the history of mankind. Today, as we take up the offering, I'd like you to turn with me, please, and remember, it's not always that those who are rich and increased with goods who are the backbone of the church. We'll read from Mark chapter 12 and begin in verse 42. Not too long ago, somebody put an offering into the basket for a holy day offering. Attached to that offering was a little note. It said, "Please forgive me for it being so small." To all who feel that way, I would say to you that God looks on the heart, the desire to give. Not the amount, it is purely the desire and the willingness to give. No one is going to judge anyone else for what they give. Indeed, that would be presumptuous of us. It is not part of our job, and it is not up to us to say who should give what. It is up to you to give what you have decided. It is up to the church, up to us, to thank all those who support the work that has been done in God's name in this crucial time in the history of mankind, as God's plan for mankind draws ever closer to the ultimate phase of God's intentions in man's history. Mark chapter 12, and beginning in verse 42, we read the following. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he, that is Jesus, called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Truly I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living." Before we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16, we need to remember that there are none of us who are super rich. None of us are of the gladiatorial class, such as Gareth Bales, being paid obscene salaries for entertaining vast crowds in some football stadium. Then, in the not-too-distant future, the dollar, sterling, the Chinese yuan, the Japanese yen will all tumble in value. Until that happens, God's church will still be making the words of God's apostle to this end time available to all who have an ear to hear and an eye to see. And the church will also be updating the prophetic news column that it maintains each week, 6 days a week. That does take money, and it does help people to see how prophecy and the news of what we see today tie in together. So if we turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 16, and beginning in verse 16, we read the following. "Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal, your God, in the place that he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord, of the Eternal your God, which he has given you." While the offering is being taken up, there will be offering music, and this will be Psalm 97, God reigns, let the earth rejoice, being sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied on the piano by Mrs. Estelle Monroe.